Hello, I'm Carolina Kern, Communications Officer for the Humanitarian Practice Network. We're an independent network of over 6,000 practitioners and policymakers from around the world. In September 2007, in partnership with the Overseas Development Institute, Reuters AlertNet and ALNAP, we hosted an event to explore the relationship that exists between aid workers and journalists operating in crisis contexts. Mutual distrust and dependence, accountability issues, and the impact of the 24-hour news cycle were all amongst topics discussed. We will revisit these in this podcast. But first, here's Rachel Atkinson, coordinator of the Humanitarian Practice Network, to explain the thinking behind this event.
We organised this meeting to bring together journalists and aid workers to talk about the relationship between the two and often the lack of trust that is a central characteristic of this relationship. This isn't a new debate, but the issues over the last decade with increasing 24/7 news coverage, with online coverage and citizen publishing, mean that the pressures are increasing, and it was a timely opportunity to have another look at what the roles are of the different groups in the environment and where we can go from here.
Experienced panellists from the humanitarian sector and the media industry spoke about their experiences of working together in emergency settings. They also took questions and facilitated a lively debate with over 120 participants from both sectors. Opening the event was Jean-Michel Pierre-Daniel, who became the executive director of the UK office of Médecins Sans Frontières in 2001 after 6 years of running emergency programmes in Sierra Leone, Nigeria, Burundi, and Montenegro. He said that although journalists and humanitarians live and work under very similar conditions in crisis situations, the differences in their respective roles must be stressed.
NGO workers and journalists are the first to deploy in this kind of environment, and actually nowadays journalists deploy quicker than NGOs. We need each other in a way to report and inform the public about a certain situation, but it's two different work, and it's important to recognize that we don't have the same objective, we don't have the same agenda, we don't have the same ethics, and therefore that will inevitably create tension.
A central concern for aid workers in crisis situations, especially in conflict areas, is the security of their personnel and their operations. But the advent of 24-hour media and the instant availability of news over the internet has presented new challenges. Martin Broughton, who was also on the panel, is the editor of Reuters AlertNet. He's a journalist, but has gathered first-hand experience in the aid sector through his previous post as head of communications for Médecins Sans Frontières UK. Martin said that aid workers in complex emergencies can be reluctant to speak to journalists because they know that what they say is immediately available to the people around them.
The aid workers are now much more aware of how people around them in the society that they're working in, with whom they're going to have delicate relations sometimes, have access to whatever they say very, very quickly now. I mean, there are probably, you know, militia commanders walking around with PDAs looking at the web, which is reporting exactly what the aid agency is saying. So, you know, the feedback is very rapid as well, and therefore the sense of having to be very cautious for very good reason is strong.
Jean-Michel Pierre-Daniel generally agreed with this argument, but as an aid worker, he made a distinction between two different kinds of journalists.
Now, I think we have seen in the last years a new generation of journalists, which is the 24 hours media, the news journalist, the one who always want to go on online every half an hour, every hour, and have something new to report. This kind of journalism can be a bit difficult to manage. They want news. They don't necessarily have time to consider the political environment in which they work, to understand that environment and to be able to frame your comment within that context. So it means that they might put you at risk more than other journalists, which is, for me, another category, which are the more experienced one, the one who are maybe a foreign correspondent, that know about an environment, that have an awareness about the geopolitical tensions, and they are able to understand some of the constraints you are facing. And I find the latter and much, much easier to engage with, of course.
Martin Broughton said there is another reason why aid workers are cautious of what they say to journalists.
The way that aid agencies depend very often for their funding is through donations. Their reputation is often formed by what people read or hear from the media about their work. So they're always nervous about how their reputation could be harmed by the way they treat a journalist. I mean, that's a terrible tension. You can imagine yourself, if you were faced with a reporter, you think, wow, this is a terrific opportunity. But you think, if I mess it up, this is going to be curtains.
The way in which aid agencies attempt to manage the media through their own communication units was highlighted by David Pratt, foreign editor of the Scottish newspaper, The Sunday Herald.
What I call the aid industry has become far more competitive. It's a commercial enterprise these days, and like any commercial enterprise where there's competition, individual organisations need to up their profile. They need to make their mark. They need to be seen to be doing good things. One of the ways in which they do that, obviously, is by using the media, which is, I suppose, in a way, created a whole new relationship. We've heard about the term the embedded journalist with NGOs. So many NGOs are quite happy now to take journalists on. They have a portion of their budget put aside because in return for that, they will get a higher profile.
David went on to say that this can compromise a journalist's critical distance and have negative implications on their ability to scrutinise and hold aid agencies to account.
If criticism is due and it's in the public interest, then the journalist must be in a position to be much more critical of that. I think this tradition of tiptoeing around NGOs really needs to come to an end. What is required, I think, is for reporters who work in the field, correspondents who work in the field, who are intimately acquainted with those situations, to really start pushing their own organisations, their own newspapers, to ensure that the quality of the reporting is high, that it doesn't shortchange the story on the ground, that it does deal with the complexities. You know, I think the readership, the audience, are entitled to that.
In order to overcome some of the difficulties experienced by journalists and aid workers, Martin Broughton suggested the need for more clarity between the two groups.
I don't think either side is necessarily very open with the other about what their priorities are, because I think if it were more obvious to both sides that there is a slightly different job being done, then I think there might be more tolerance of some of the things that go slightly wrong with it. They're not necessarily on the same side, and they shouldn't be, and that's all right, and you can still work through it.
David Pratt had another suggestion of how journalists and aid workers can work better together in the future.
Both need to clean up their own houses first, even before they start addressing the question of the relationship between each other, between journalists and aid workers. I think journalists have to look into journalism, look at how they're reporting these stories and whether they can do better. I think, likewise, aid organisations need to clean up many of their own operations, root out the less scrupulous and the more cowboy elements within the aid community. Then, and only then, I think, can aid workers and journalists really sit down and address their own relationship. That would allow, I think, rules of engagement for both aid workers and journalists operating together in the field.
I hope you have enjoyed this podcast. Additional materials on this topic can be found on our website at www.odihpn.org. The Overseas Development Institute have also posted a blog which picks up on some of the issues discussed today. It is on the website at www.odi.org.uk. We welcome your comments on this blog. This podcast was produced by Julian Bonnet.